The police say the government's gun buyback program will continue despite a privacy breach being blamed on a software update. Police today shut down the gun buyback website after being alerted to the breach. The Council of Licensed Firearms Owners claims the full details of banned firearms and their location had been made available online to the public. But Police Minister Stuart Nash says that's not the case, and only approved firearms dealers have been able to access the information. Joining us now to discuss this is Police Deputy Commissioner Mike Clement. Good evening. Can you tell us exactly what information was accessible online?
Yeah, good evening. So what's happened is the efforts to try and extend some information online for the dealer network, we've regrettably, through the software provider, given much wider access than intended to those people who were dealers accessing the information. So we're still getting to the bottom of exactly what they did see and how many details of how many gun owners they saw. But the reality is it's name, address, type of firearm, and could include banking details.
So when did you find out exactly?
We found out at between 9 and 10 o'clock this morning.
And how long did it take you to shut the site down?
About an hour, by the time that the notification was made through to our call centre and then made its way to me and others in the program, and then across to SAP to say we've got to shut it down while we work out what's going on here.
So when you say that it was an unauthorised update, how did that happen?
Well, sort of indicated that what we've been trying to do is to work with dealers to give them the information they need to better process the firearms that they come into contact with. And what we've been trying to do is, over time, was to develop that software to meet that purpose. It was supposed to go into a testing environment in the software solution, and by a human error went into production or went into the live site. So the information was available and it simply shouldn't have been.
So are they sacked now?
Well, we've been busy at the moment trying to work out what information was made available and more importantly, actually, what's happened with that information, with, if anything. So that's been our focus at the moment. I haven't turned my mind to sacking anybody. SAP is very disappointed. They've issued a statement this evening saying that they unreservedly apologised to police and
the
citizens.
But the horse has bolted, hasn't it? The horse has bolted. So will you be reviewing their contract?
Well, the horse hasn't bolted. What I'm saying is that there was information that was seen by one dealer online since it went live, and what we're trying to do is to get to the bottom of what, if anything, that dealer has done with the information. So we'll know the answer to that in the next day or two. But I can guarantee you, I mean, we have started conversations with SAP. They're very disappointed. I'm disappointed with them. And once we've sorted out what's going on here and how to fix it, so as we can get on with the buyback process, then we'll have a conversation about what the implications are.
The problem, though, is that you now have a trust issue, don't you, in terms of the public. Would you accept that?
Well, as I've said, I'm disappointed and so is SAP. And if people will understand that we've been trying to do the right thing, we haven't done it. It hasn't been good enough in this respect.
So how can they trust you with their information, critical information? How can they trust you?
Well, because we've got, I mean, in this case, we've fallen short of their expectation. When I say we have, SAP has. And in the meantime, we've got, millions of pieces of information from members of the public and many databases that we protect all of the time. So this is a glitch that we don't want to have happen, and regrettably it has happened. We'll get to the bottom of it. But in the meantime, I'm very confident that people can put their trust in place when it comes to looking after their information. We found out about it. We closed down the access very quickly, and we're moving to try and work out what's happened so that we can get on with the buyback.
But the reality is it has happened, and while you may have contained it, it's happened at a very sensitive time and in relation to a very sensitive issue. So how do you think it will affect people's confidence in the buyback program?
Well, I'll have questions, and I hope that when they hear me speak about what's going on here and the fact that we're getting to the bottom of it, so is that when we put the system back up online that we are confident in it, that they can trust in that. And so they'll either believe me or they won't believe me. The reality is that we've got to be able to convince members of the community who have got firearms to be bought in because they're now prohibited. We've got to convince them that the system is sound and that we can look after their information. This is an unfortunate setback, but we will get to the bottom of it, and by the time the system goes back up and online so that those people can continue to use the system, that assurance will come with that. In the meantime, we've got a paper-based system that we will continue to use to make sure that we are collecting the people's firearms and then processing them accordingly.
It's particularly unfortunate, though, isn't it, when you are trying to get support for a gun register?
Well, that's one of the options that's before Select Committee at the moment, is a gun register. There are two different things going on here. We built
both relate to the cooperation. Both relate to storing data, though, don't they?
They do, yeah. We store data across a number of databases, millions of pieces of people's data, across many databases all of the time. And we know that we've got to be excellent with regard to looking after that data. In this case, there's been an excess that was not up to standard in terms of the assurance that we provide to people when we collect their data and hold that data. So we are working hard to get to the bottom of it. I'm very mindful of the fact that people want to hear the degree of any breach that there might have been. At the moment, the information I have from the software provider is one dealer accessed the information, and I'm confident that that dealer did the right thing with that information and contacted us as soon as they became aware that they shouldn't have.
Okay, so that's
worked in that sense.
Sorry, that is the information you have at the moment. You say you're exploring how widespread it was to make 100% sure. When will you know for sure?
There's audit logs all through the system. So when SAP built this system, they built audit processes into it, as most software companies would do with any software solution. So they are analysing that to work out how many, which is, they're telling me it's one person, and they'll confirm that tomorrow. I'm confident that that's where they've got to today. And then throughout the remainder of this evening, because they're a global company and they're working on it overnight, hopefully by tomorrow I will know exactly how much information was accessed and, more importantly, what, if anything, was done with that.
And you will share that information publicly?
Well, I'll share the information that I can share publicly. The reality is we've been speaking to the person who contacted us doing the right thing this morning with the information that they thought that they shouldn't be able to access that information. We've been speaking to that person today. So we'll, after that interview, we'll get a sense of whether or not anything was done with the information that should give rise to any further concern.
What guarantees can you give to people that this is not going to happen again?
Well, the guarantee I can give to people is we've got an acute awareness of how important it is to look after their information, and we constantly challenge ourselves to do that. We've had another audit undertaken today as a consequence of this issue, and we'll continue to do that. It's whether it's in a software solution or whether it's in hard copy, we've got an obligation to look after people's information. It's not all in software solutions. We've got an equal responsibility with regard to what's in hard copy. That's the expectation that's made of us, and that's my job to make sure that we meet that. And if we don't, that there's an explanation that's acceptable to everybody with regard to that.
And there are consequences? Or just an explanation?
Well, there'll be consequences once we work out what's happened to the full extent that it has. And at the moment, as I'm saying, is SAP, who's a software company who developed the solution, have unreservedly accepted the responsibility for it. We'll be having conversations with them about our ongoing relationship with them.
Appreciate your time this evening. That is the Police Deputy Commissioner, Mike Clement, talking there about a privacy breach in relation to the software holding information about the gun buyback.